Blog Talk Radio.
The one and only Mr. Hassan Black is online with this topic, and I appreciate it.
Man up!
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Good evening. Good evening. How's everybody doing?
To tell it how I see it, because I've been on both sides of the coin.
Those who are checking the show, the Man Up Talk Show, as we try to build what we're doing in this movement. We got my brother, other brother here, Dow Harrington, and welcome to the show as another host, of course.
Man up! Nah, I appreciate smart. But you gotta know in this game, man, it ain't enough.
When you meet people, you wanna know their knowledge. You wanna know their story. What's the backstory? What brought you to this day? And build something to help you to achieve that, it would be just totally ignorant.
We are on deck. We want to welcome everyone to the show. We're listening to New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Virginia, North Carolina, Georgia. Well, I checked you out earlier. Once again, George with Mr. Nass, and I want to send a special...
I think all you men have nailed it, because the fact remains, we can't teach our younger men to become better men if we're being hypocrites. We're being hypocrites about what we're telling them to do.
Has been done to me, and I have done them. So I'm speaking from experience, and I'm also speaking from being able to tell you that it's real.
Everybody has to have a core. There's something that drives me. There's something that is bigger than ourselves.
Are you kidding me? Did you really just come at me like that? You will be eliminating the people that just don't have no business coming in your direction in the first place by the way you carry yourself, the way that you speak, and everything like that. So all you're doing is eliminating and inviting the correct people in your life.
No. We want to hear the difference.
Where do I want to go with this? You're talking children. You're talking relationships. You're talking all kinds of things. And it blows my mind, man.
Wearing dresses, making money. Got the brakes fixed on the car. That's what I've been doing. What you been doing?
You been fucking around?
Nope.
Let me smell your dick.
Girl, you better go with that bullshit.
Nah, if you ain't been whoring around, you been all busy. Let me smell your dick. I can tell.
What's wrong with that?
I ain't playing with you. Move! You better not bring me nothing back from one of them nasty bitches. I know that much.
Well, fuck it then. Don't believe me. I told you I didn't fuck that girl, and that's it. Keep on putting your hands on me.
Where you going? I hate you. You selfish, you arrogant, and so stupid.
Yeah, whatever.
Nigga, I don't need you to live here. I'm tired of sitting up in this house not having a man next to me when I want, being lonely. I'ma do what the fuck I wanna do.
What? What you gonna do?
I said I'm tired of waiting for your ass. I hate you. I'ma have me a man, boo-boo. A man who wants to be with me and my baby and have a family. A real man, Jody. Not some little boy who still want to live at home with his mama.
Fuck you. Kiss my ass. Go on out in these streets and be a little trick if you want to. I should not get the fuck out, girl.
You better not hit nobody, because I'll call your probation officer and they will put your black ass back in jail. Now. Kiss my ass, nigga.
Stupid.
You better walk away. I hate you. You're so stupid.
You hate me? Keep on saying that shit, girl.
Yeah, that's right. I hate your ass. You make me sick. I can't stand your black ass. You act like a little boy instead of a grown-ass man. I hate you.
Well, you know what? I hate your ass, too. Do something.
Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone to the show. Right about now, you're listening to the Man Up Talk Show. We had some technical difficulties last week. We really apologize for that. You know, it happens. I know, it is what it is. But what an intro. It's Friday night. We are on another episode of the Man Up Talk Show. Tonight's topic... We both made this baby. I just thought it was appropriate that we kick it off with this, that sound bite from Baby Boy. Just thought it was appropriate. But however, we're going to have our guys tune in shortly. Once again, you listen to the Man Up Talk Show, where we got my brother, the one and only, Edward L. Fairley. That's going to be on the show a little in a short couple minutes. And we got my man, Dow Harrington. We got brother Thomas Reynolds. Anthony Davis and Hassan Black. These are just some of the men that helps put this all down every week, and we appreciate them, no doubt, always. Much love, much love. Now, also, I would be remiss not to, you know, of course, acknowledge the beautiful women of the Every Woman Talk Show. Let me tell you something. Our ladies are doing an extraordinary job. They go in on the topics, and I appreciate them holding it down. Yours truly, I had to, you know, some things I had to handle behind the scenes, but, you know, the ladies been holding down for it, and they've been doing an awesome job. But tonight's topic, we both made this baby. Now, the number is for the call-in. It's 646-478-4507. You know, we're going to get heavy into this subject matter tonight. We're going to have fun. My man Ed just hit me. He's going to be on the show in a minute so he gets his reception area all squared away. Daryl hit me as well. He's on a campaign trail and also trying to do the show. However, I want to know if we have the lovely, the one and only lovely Miss Signature Black online. What's going on, Sig?
Hey, sweetie. How are you?
All right. What's going on, sweetie? What's going on? How you feeling?
Oh, I'm feeling great. Finally stable, not flying around, going here and going there. I am happy.
Awesome. Actually, I am very happy that you're on this show, because I think we talked a couple months ago about the baby mama drama, baby daddy, and child support and all this stuff. And I know that in your field, you dealt with that. It may be quite often. I don't know how much, but you've dealt with it. Now, let me ask it from a woman's perspective. No matter what age it is, do we all go through it from a woman's perspective, no matter what age you are?
Yeah, you do.
Okay.
The thing is, people forget, you know. They forget a lot of things when they're laying down and making babies, whether they're married or just doing a one-night stand or just dating someone. They don't consider a lot of things. And then when the child comes and the relationship ends, all kind of things happen. And it's really terrible. And as adults, we start to act like children. And I say that because rather than remember that this is a child that needs both parents in order for them to become productive citizens in life, we go to battle like two kids in the playground. And you use the child all too often as a pawn.
Wow. It's funny you say that. You know, I think that you know, I'm not sure if you probably, are you at work right now? Because I know you always rocking and rolling. Are
no,
you
I'm
at work
home.
Right now?
I'm
oh,
at
okay.
home.
But though, for listeners, you know, Sig works every, you know, she's working constantly. She's always on the grind. So, you know, sometimes she could be in court. She could be outside the court. Or she's all around. So just want to make sure I put the disclaimer out. It could be like, what? But, you know, I agree with you. Daryl just texted me. He's about to get situated. All right. I agree with you about using the child as a pawn. And I think that's where the drama comes in at. You know, instead of understanding that just because you didn't have a good relationship with that person does not make that father or that mother not a good parent. And I think that we use that. I'm going to say we because I've been guilty. I'm been keeping it 100. And you guys listening to the show right now, you got to be honest. You made mistakes. Stop using your children as a pawn in your relationship. Just because you're not with the mother does not mean you still can't be a father to that child, regardless. It doesn't matter. Just because you're not with it does not necessarily mean that you stop being a father. And, of course, ladies, you can't use your child. I mean, I'm saying that, but does not mean it's reality. It's happening. No, it's way too often we got people using our children as pawns. Well, you know, I don't have a relationship with you. You can't see your child. Or you make something up. Or even worse, the drama comes in when they're using the child. And I'm going to say it about getting financial gains. You know, I always hear certain women, you know, and it's sad. I'm going to say what it is. Oh, girl, he got a good job. You need to be, you know, oh, he'll pay you this amount of money. And it ain't to a point that you got young ladies, you know, that know exactly what they're going to be getting for each child in child support based off his salary. I know a woman who knows the guidelines in New York and New Jersey, child support guidelines and what she's going to receive every damn month, which is it's crazy to me that you would use a child to you know, take care of yourself. And you say, well, I you know, Your Honor, you know, I have three kids, but they have three different baby daddies. Or, and what's the other cliche, especially these, I'm going to say it again, these women going after these sports celebrities. And fellas, if you're out there, you're doing the sports and everything like that, and you're trying to get out there, you know, as far as I know a couple of giant guys in New York Giants, I know a couple of guys that play professional football and basketball, be very careful. There are predator women out there looking for you to knock them up. That's just real talk. And it's a shame that some women are using that, you know, to, I guess, not work or whatever you want to call it, and that's when that drama comes in. You know, Sig, let me ask you a question. In your field, what's one of the worst situations or a common situation that you deal with is baby mama drama or child support?
I don't do family law. I wouldn't be able to. I would end up in jail. I know a lot of people. I would, because it's some maddening things happening. I mean, you get mad, you wake up and you're angry today, and you want to say, oh, he can't do this, he can't do that. Girl, I believe he just got a raise on his job. You need to take him back to court. I get tired of hearing those words roll out of mom's mouth. Every dime you're trying to get from this man, you want to break him. And it's just about because he no longer wants you, or your relationship didn't work out, or you have become so angry and bitter, and you're listening to your girlfriends who are angry and bitter, and they want you wallowing in the same filth that they're wallowing in. And and the child, this is the worst part for me, is the children are in the middle of this, and you're not hiding it from them. You're in their face. Your daddy's not this, your daddy's not that. If he was worth this, he would do this and he would do that. If he don't care about you like he do his other kids, because he married their mama. Trick, he married their mama because she was a real woman, and you're a trick.
If you cared about your child,
if he's having this good relationship, give him his child. That's another thing I can't stand. You can't stand this child because this child looks just like daddy, but you won't give that man his child. Get that man his child. You don't want him. Have a child with him.
I'm sorry, I had to drop a bomb on that one.
You had that child thinking this man was going to marry your sorry behind, and he didn't. He didn't. Ladies, wake up and recognize. If he is treating you like second class when you are dating, and that does not change, he's not going to marry you. you will not become wife. You will always be that piece he can get when he want it. I don't care how many times you spread your legs and drop a baby.
Now, you're talking to the ladies about this, you know, and we do have lady listeners. You know, you're trying to tell them this story. Now, what about those who's, I guess, all right, they realize he ain't going to marry him and stuff like that, you know, but yet they still have this drama with baby daddy, you know, and then you have those, okay, he's not going to marry you, but yet you have these guys swinging to the other side. You have some guys who figure, okay, because that's baby mama, I still have it in on with her, if you know what I mean. I still have a connection. You know what I'm saying? How do, you know, to our ladies, and then fellas, listen up. This is coming from a woman. How do our ladies combat that? And where she still has, how you say, a heart or open, I'm not going to say open legs, but it has
open legs.
I didn't want to say it, but yeah.
It's open legs. And let me tell you why it's open legs. Because, and I tell young ladies this all the time, just because you had that baby does not mean he's going to stay with you. Your value is not between your legs. Everybody got a cooch. Everybody got one.
Mm-hmm.
It means nothing. The best piece is the last piece he was in. The woman he loves is the one he gave his heart to. And it's not too, boo. And constantly being available for him when he's fighting with his wife or fighting with his woman, whoever he's living with or whatever he's doing, and just being his drive-by piece, is not going to ever put you in the wife's seat. He's not going to wife you. He's getting it too easy. You've allowed him to treat you like crap, fill your house with kids that he may or may not be taking care of, and all you are going to ever be is his baby mama. The worst title in the world has become to be a baby mama. That's not an endearing title.
Right, I agree. I agree. Yeah, I agree. That's, you know, I think you said as far as that's not a good title, and maybe that's something that we can kind of address now. You know, you got some people, well, that's my baby daddy or that's my baby mother.
Not cute.
In your opinion, what do you think is a proper title that a man should address the child of his mother? I mean, excuse me, the mother of his child. I apologize.
The mother of his child. Call her by her name.
Okay. And that's to respect.
You're in a public setting. You introduce her. This is Trayshawn. She's the mother of my son. Or my son's mother. Or this is Ray Ray. He's the father of my daughter or my daughter's father. You don't say my baby mama, that's not cute. And my baby daddy, that's not cute.
Fellas, listen to this, fellas.
Of no respect. It carries no respect behind it. If somebody's calling you their baby mama or their baby daddy, they have no respect for you, and they see you as dollar signs or babysitter when they want to go out of town. That's all it is.
Wow. to the babysitter. You know, I think something right there you said, I mean, you know, I'm going to piggyback on that part you said about people treating the co-parenting, you know, because I was just reading something you posted on Facebook about co-parenting. I think that's the key point, and I think that in our society, we've lost track of that terminology as far as co-parenting. It takes two. And like the you know, kind of borrow a little term that you use, you know, swing it back to the root of it, it's about we both made this child. It's about co-parenting. You know, regardless, you may not, you know, agree with someone, or you may not like that woman, or you may like them because y'all didn't have a good relationship, but y'all made a baby. You both made that baby. It's not just his responsibility to take care of the baby. It's not just her responsibility. It's about co-parenting. And I think what happens here, and I love that you put that post on Facebook, is the fact it's about co-parenting. Understanding you got to come to a resolution, a compromise, to take care of that child together. You know, it shouldn't be just on the woman who's got to get up every day, take the child to daycare, pay for the daycare. You know, you got to work out a schedule. You know, if she's working, and there's going to be times that, you know, fellas, I'm going to talk to my fellas, young and old. It's not the woman's job to make those decisions on the child do. You talk, and be honest, have that honest conversation. Do not be afraid to talk about the schedule of your child and what's going on. because a closed mouth ain't going to get fed. So you're going to have a dialogue with your child's mother. Not the baby mom, but your child's mother. You talk to her with respect. Hey, look, where are we at right now? What's the fund? You know, that comes in finances. And that's another thing that a lot of our men, you know, don't do. Talk about the finances and what it takes to, you know, raise a child. Create a budget that you, both of you guys can compromise on. And I think what happens is once you get locked into the child support system, you know, you got somebody else dictating what you should be paying and not paying. You know, ladies, you know, and this just kills me. You see, I see so many brothers go to court. They got to work 3 or 4 jobs just to maintain. And the woman has not provided no documentation, proof of employment, W-2s, but she's sitting at home, well, I got to take care of my other babies. You know, if you're an able body, you can get up and go to work. Whether you decide to make different baby fathers and stuff like that, that's on you. But I think it's unfair in our justice system. I can't speak for certain other states, but I can speak for my knowledge of Jersey, New York, and Connecticut areas. I just think it's totally, totally unfair. I think it's biased at times that certain women are not, you know, I guess pulling their weight. Not saying all, but certain women that I've seen, and they've used the child support system, and they've used their children as a check. I mean, seriously, they've used the check. I even heard a woman just recently, last week, who basically ran off the careers of each baby daddy and what they make. She knew when they all was up for a raise. So only reason that she knew that because she, once again, had an open door forum to them, if you know what I mean. She was able to obtain that information. And fellas, please, don't be that damn stupid. I mean, really, seriously. Don't be so damn stupid.
Yes, and bringing that up, Nas, thank you. I used to counsel guys on this when they would come and say, "Oh, black, she pregnant. She said she don't want nothing from me. She lying. She is lying." And let me tell you why she's lying.
Thank you.
Because you know what, women, you spread your legs, you had this baby, and then he say, "I told you I didn't want a child," and you tell that ultimate lie. You may not mean it, but I promise you, before that child turns 2 months, it's a lie. When you say, "I'll do it by myself, I don't need your help, I'm going to take care of my child by myself." Pampers, milk, daycare, it costs. And unless you're unless you are balling out of control, you're not taking care of that baby by yourself. Gentlemen, don't let her salary fool you. Let me tell you what happened. Women wake up and they're fine. Nothing's going on. They haven't talked to anybody. They're sitting in the mirror brushing their teeth. That kid starts crying before she can finish her me time. Your ass is in trouble. You're going to child support court that day. She is going to put you in child support court because she is upset all of a sudden, and everything roots around that. I could have been doing this if I had help with this baby. When she tells you she don't want nothing, you tell her okay. And you put a tracking on the money that you give her from the time that child is born. I promise you, it will come back to haunt you if you don't.
That's right.
Thing worse than child support is back child support. Back child support will have you flipping burgers at McDonald's at midnight trying to catch up and pay that. When she tell you she don't want no money from you, she's lying.
Man, let me tell you something. I've been on that track. I've had my times. I fell off and I fell behind. And let me tell you something. Fellas, and you know what, and I'm talking to the fellas that listen to the show. I'm talking on the behead. Listen, you, all right, I'm about to say kill yourself. Listen, fellas, real talk, fellas. Stop the bull. I got to curse. I'm trying to be politically correct, but I got to say how I feel. Stop the bullshit with this. I'm gonna quit this. Now, this is that ghetto nonsense. I'm going to quit this job, get an undercover, you know, I guess under the table jobs, so I don't have to pay my child support because I'm in the arrears. Wake up. It ain't going no damn where.
It's not going nowhere. You're going to be in arrears the day you die.
You die. I mean, you still going to have this. Oh, my God. The arrears not going to go nowhere. It's going to get worse. You now going to change your name. I know cats that have changed it. well, whatever. They got false social security numbers. You're going to jail, just FYI, when they catch up with your ass. And then, you know, you have tons and tons of child support. Do you wonder why you can't have this and have that? I mean, come on. What are you going to retire off of? You don't got no 401k. You got no pension plan. You got nothing put away decide you can get old. You can't keep working underneath the table when you get older. What the hell are you going to do? Pick up cans off the street? Eventually, they're going to catch up with you. I mean, just go ahead. Get the job. Let them take your tax money. If you owe money, don't look for the tax money. Just let them take it. Get caught back up. If you got to work Burger King, McDonald's, Taco Bell, and the breakfast is actually kind of slamming. Thank you, Taco Bell, but that was a jab y'all did at McDonald's. Real talk. But anyway,
yeah, it was. Back to the subject matter.
That was a straight up jab. But hold up, real quick, we got my brother Edward L. Fairley, and we, you know, what's going on, big dog?
What's good, fellas? How y'all doing? And it sounds like a young lady as well.
Yeah,
oh, no, that's
dude.
Just a shit.
No, we've been fighting, man.
Oh,
it's on.
Damn.
It's on. You know what? I'm going to make me a plane reservation to get to Virginia, because I'm tired of you, Eddie.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Don't y'all start this. Don't you?
Okay,
listen,
to your
corners. Last time I'm in Texas, like sister and brothers having a domestic quarrel.
How you thinking about Eddie? How you doing, sweetie?
I'm wonderful. I apologize. I was making some finishing touches. I got to take my car to get it inspected tomorrow. So I was putting new stuff on, taking old stuff off or whatever to make sure I pass
the inspection. You cannot crash for a car inspection. You should have been ready. Don't make me beat you.
I'd be busy, man. The cop pulled me over last week, and that was the reason for. I was like, really, dude? You pulled me over because my inspection sticker was late, so I'm going to go get it passed and go into court and get it thrown out or whatever. But yeah, I'm like, dude, you made a U-turn to pull me over because my inspection sticker was whatever. But, I mean, to be honest with you, that junk did say, it said August of 2013. So I was living straight foul. But I've been busy, man. I'm not looking at no daggone sticker.
Man, you've been profiled. You've been profiled.
Yeah.
No, he profiled himself. He said August 2013.
Yes,
August
2013.
I didn't call the cops to get you. I said, let me call in a favor. Virginia, let me call in.
Yeah, so I was putting in finishing touches, putting on new windshield wiper blades, my back brake light.
Oh,
I saw the top, whatever, was out, so I replaced that or whatever. Just the little stuff. I should be good.
I called you early today, man. I called you early today, left a message on your voicemail, man. Oh man.
Yeah.
But listen, yeah, I was like, this is my new number. Yo, I can't, you know, FYI, I can't keep calling from the job phone. I get in trouble.
Yeah.
Oh, but listen,
but
man.
Good to hear
y'all,
man.
Man, good to be heard, brother. You know, like I told earlier in the show, I wanted to apologize. We had technical difficulties. When I thought it was storming and knocked everything out in that area, I was done. I was like, oh, this is some BS. I was like cursing the rain out. But, you know, I apologize to everybody. You know, I apologize. I was sitting there with the Merlot like, oh, this is some nonsense. But, yeah, listen, man, this topic, you know, I wanted to stay on the topic, you know, postman for last week, but the topic, we both made these babies. And, you know, Sig basically came at the women, you know, I'm coming at the fellas, you know, as far as, you know, being responsible. We basically saying be accountable, you know, stop all this, you know, like I was just saying before you tuned in about how fellas are so willing. I'm talking about these dumbass dudes. I'm gonna call them what they is. these cats who quit their jobs, work underneath the table so they can avoid child support. Listen,
man.
I got a dude who changed his name and religion because he wanted to avoid child support. I'm like, are you kidding me? Real talk.
Wow.
I'm like, oh. I said, dudes, really, son? You change your name, religion, and just avoid child support? That shit ain't going nowhere, asshole. Oh, I'm cursing again. I'm sorry. Dang, I apologize. My missus, listen, I apologize, baby. I'm sorry. It, it just it irks me when I see cats coming at me like, yo, what's going on, man? I'm trying to live. You know, I'm staying under the child support right now. I'm working under the table, man. I make good money. You dumb as hell. Your kid, you still have responsibility. You still have responsibility because you don't get along with that woman. You still have an obligation, financial obligation to that child, to that young that person that you made on this planet, you know. So
amen.
I was just talking to some of the fellas, man. I'm sorry, and you know, Sig came at home about how some women, if not a lot of women, use the children as a pawn for their various agendas, whether it's paying their rent, you know, getting a new car, or I'll give you an example. What is Puffy paying? Something like $5,000 or $7,000-$10,000 a month?
Mm.
That's just ludicrous to me. I mean, damn. I mean, all right, I know these guys are celebrity. People are celebrity, got stars and all this stuff. What kind of cost of living does a child need 10 G's a month? Or five? I don't give a damn if you live rich or not. What are you eating? What are you wearing? Or they got to wear the best. What's wrong with taking his ass to Walmart?
You know, like, they're going to grow next month. I think it's ridiculous. I think the way child support is set up on scale for what a person makes is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my freaking life.
Yeah,
I agree.
It doesn't cost any more to raise Puffy's child than it does to raise Ray Ray's child.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad you said that. Damn it. Damn, you get applause on that one.
The law.
I'm glad you said that.
Because they are in favor of that whining, lying, cheating, Stephen mama with 17 baby daddies and 20 kids getting on my nerves, constantly taking somebody to court. You can get your butt up and go to court, to child support court. Every time I turn around, you can get your butt up and go to work.
I like the fact you said that. It's the fact that the same amount of money, I can't see the difference. Well, what a cost of living to raise a child. Well, our cost of living, the way of living is different. And Judge is actually buying to this. I'm like, okay, what type of food you're eating that somebody else can't eat? You know, because they do a brand name on it. You know, you go to Costco's, get the same thing or whatever you want to call it. I just don't understand that, and that's what I think where some of the drama comes in with the baby mama, baby daddy, is how you want to, you know, people want to call it. But I think there needs to be some type of reform to it. I don't know about you guys in the other states. I know that, and I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, you don't pay your child support, right? They're very quick to post it as a negative in your credit status, if I'm correct. Is that sounds about right?
Yeah, that's
okay,
right.
You're going to get screwed up. You're going to get a warrant for your arrest. You could lose your driver's license.
And you lose your license.
And it's not just one state. It's like across the board. And some of those states, I wonder if they are part of the United States. There are states like North Carolina. Their laws are so ridiculous. I will never wrap my brain around them. I have yet to see a case come out of there where the dad was treated fairly. And the fact that, and I'm going to say this, and I've been on record saying this, and I've stumped the yard about this, if a woman can get pregnant on purpose, and Trick should know you get pregnant on purpose, get pregnant on purpose trying to keep this man and realize that this man don't want you, or that married man not leaving his wife for you, and you have the right, safe haven law, to drop that baby off at a church, a fire station, or a hospital and walk away. Nothing said, nothing done. Nobody cares. Nothing can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have cases where women will have a baby, put the baby up for adoption, lie about who the daddy was, where they met the daddy at, and then there are men that have kids out there that don't know that they have kids, and she can just go to court, 2 seconds, she signs away her parental rights. And it takes an act of God and Congress to sit down together and have a conversation up on Pluto for a man to give up his rights. I think a man should have the right to say, I did not want to have a child with her. I'm willing to give up my parenting rights and not have it be crazy. And the reason why they won't do it is because the judges say they do not want to make the child a bastard. I don't care what nobody say. I think your mom getting rid of you hurts a lot more than your daddy walking away.
They also stated that they make it that easy too, Sig, because that will prevent people from killing babies as well.
Well,
I mean, it's a lot
of
different things.
Rights, it'll prevent some dads from killing some mamas.
I agree. I'm not saying. I'm just stating why. But what really bothers me about this particular topic is, and I truly don't understand, is all the things that they take away from the father that is not paying the child support are the things that would actually help him to get or keep a job. So I just don't understand the logistics behind it, because if you have a record of being in jail, that's going to make it hard for you to get a job. If you have, nowadays, if you have bad credit, that's going to harm you from getting a job. And then the last thing is, if you don't have a driver's license, now you can't get to your job. So I just don't understand the logistics behind the process with everything. It just blows my mind. I really can't grasp the concept. And there's a lot of good men out there who are really trying, and they're end up going to jail or what have you, in regards to this whole situation. So I don't know.
I you know what, just to add on that, brother, you know, I've talked to my ears, you know, to my man's ears fell off. I've talked to Darryl, a couple other brothers. My question is, they're very quick to put in your credit, your status, and take away your license, how bad, you know, if you miss a couple payments, whatever. And, you know, everybody falls down. Everybody goes through it at some point in their life. They go through it. Now, what about, all right, this father got, he fixed his situation, got himself a job, whether it's McDonald's, Burger King, White Castle, whatever, Piggly Wiggly, whatever you want, the hell you want to call it. He got a job. He got himself back up. He's paying the child support. Why can't you use that same system to reward him and report to the credit bureaus of him possibly paying on his child support? Why can't that happen? Because what happened is that was kind of offset and show, okay, he had, you see the history of he fell off. He lost his job, child support, it's on there. Okay, he's back working. Let's report to the credit bureaus that this man is doing what he's supposed to do. His credit status now goes up. He can either get better living conditions that would affect his child later on, that when his child comes out, when it comes for the child from stable, he can live in a good environment or good situation, and also maybe get a better job. Because we know with some of the jobs, they go after, they look at your credit. I mean, depending on the job you're looking for.
Yeah.
So why can't we use that this same so-called system that they report about the negative that a man does in child support and report the positive that's doing? So it gives an incentive to these fathers out here, you know, okay, listen, you can't get the money on tax time, but your credit will go up if you're paying your child support. You'll show a positive you're paying positive, you know, on all your bills and your weekly payments. It's going to show that. Why can't they do that for the fathers out here? That would baffles me. It's double standards at that point. And I totally agree with Egg. Totally agree with you when you said about the rights of the father. You know, well, I didn't want to have this baby, but like you said, a woman can drop a baby off. And anything that happens in New York and New Jersey, you can drop a baby off with no problem and not be prosecuted or not. So I definitely believe in the double standards, and the government need to freaking look at all this.
It's the safe. I hate the safe haven laws. I really do. And, okay, you know, I don't want anybody to think, oh, she's anti-women or anything like that, because I even know some fathers. I've met some fathers in family court demanding child support from this woman because he had custody of his child or whatever. And so, and I tell all of them, did you need a box of tampons? Because you're acting like a woman today.
Oh! Really?
When the words are coming out of your mouth, when you sitting there, you want to sit at home because she makes so much money, and you done took her to child support court, and you talk about, oh, I'm struggling, I can't make it. Be a man. What happened to being a man? Then you wonder why black women have no respect for your little sorry behind. So it works both ways. It's the
have
whole
a heart. That's kind of cold.
What? No, that's
kinda
real.
It's kind of cold.
I do have a heart. Because I can turn right around after
some
I say that to them and say, let me help you. I can help you so I don't have to talk about you like this to your face. But I'm not talking about you behind your back. I'm telling you this to your face. I go to family court just to do that. It's different if I'm going to sit there and talk about everybody and I'm not willing to offer help. If I'm willing to offer help, it's the custodial. My new thing is custodial parents. If you are the custodial parent, you do not use that child for a pawn. You do not use that child to aggravate that other parent. I'm tired of the whole thing where, okay, well, he's now dating somewhere else or she's dating someone else, and you want to make her life a living hell because, or his life a living hell because they don't want you anymore. Lick your wounds and keep it moving. And remember that this child is looking at you. This child sees your actions. And another thing, too, in a lot of states, if you have to do the parenting plan when you get in a divorce, you need to remember that in that parenting plan and in that divorce decree, it clearly says you will not badmouth that child, that parent, the other parent in front of that child. You will not allow anybody else to do it. Now, if somebody wanted to be vindictive, go clause by clause in your divorce papers or your parenting plan. You want to see somebody in court, let's do this.
You've got to consider your actions.
And you've got to consider what you do. And for those women, they'll be like, oh, he won't take care of this child, he won't do this, he won't do that. I'm going to be honest. A man would rather walk away and let them take child support out of his check and face and deal with that child when that child is 18 and can come to them by themselves and they can have an adult conversation rather than go through your drama every time he tries to come see his child or every time he tries to drop his child off. Like the case of the guy that's going to face 6 months in jail because he visited his child too much, because he broke visitation rights, because he's supposed to pick the child up at 6 o'clock on Friday and bring him back by 6 o'clock on Sunday. Instead, he picks the child up directly from school, brings the child back when it's time for the child to go to bed. Who, as a parent, when you have that child to yourself all the time, cannot appreciate that? Let's be honest. I love my kids to death, but Lord knows I thank God for the breaks. They do things to you. Let's be honest. Your kids will do things to you, and you look at them sideways, and you pray a lot. So
you talk about other children. No, I'm sorry. So you know, you said something. I'm sorry. You just said something about the dropping off and spending time. I'm sorry. Continue on. I wanted to definitely add on to that. You need a break.
No, you do. You really do. You spend all week with that child. If you're as a custodial parent, you've had to pick them up. You had to drop them off. You took them to school. You took them to all the retarded activities. Lord knows these kids got every activity in the world these days. And then you've done practice, and you've done this, and you've done that. Mom, where's my shoe? I need 5 dozen cookies. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. I need them by 8. You've been through pretty hell. You need to be looking forward to whatever time they pick them up on Friday.
Okay. Eddie, I mean, you have, you know, I think we discussed on a couple of shows, you are a stepfather as well, right?
Don't call it that, but I know what you're saying, yes.
You're your father. I mean, your father. No, you're right. But, you know, my apologies, brother.
No need to apologize. I mean, for the sake of the show, I'll go along with what you're saying. Keep going.
Okay. Now, how, and you said some things before, if those who just listen to the show, you know, not every relationship has this. Eddie has a great relationship with his son's natural father. And I, you know, reason
now,
why I'm
it didn't begin that way, but yes. It definitely didn't begin that way, but yes.
But it's something, it's a story you may want to share because you have a lot of young fathers and even older fathers who don't know how to do that. But understanding, you know, just because you have that drama, you know, that the mother and the father don't have a relationship, but you still played a part in the relationship of this child. And you're making that your son a stronger man. I don't know if you want to explain that because somebody could probably take from what your story and learn from it, and hopefully they can try to apply it to their life situation. You want to share a little bit of that with the listeners?
Oh, most definitely. That's not a problem. Well, first, there was definitely a lot of drama in the beginning with the relationship with my son's birth father and I in the beginning, and it was understandable for several reasons. Well, the one reason was he wanted to be back with my wife when her and I were in a relationship. I mean, it's just the reality of what it is. He wanted to be back with my wife. But another thing that I did have to realize, and that's actually where our issues came in, because like, okay, when you all talk, it's supposed to be about the child. There's no, you have no reason making passes or trying to, you know, imply things or what have you when it came to her. So that's where our biggest beef came from in regards to being disrespectful towards my wife. But the other thing that I had to understand was the questioning of whether I was taking his child from him in his eyes. So I couldn't do anything but respect and understand that, and I put myself in his shoes. And by the time we got to the point when we got past the whole disrespect and almost getting physical with between him and I, it got to a point where we could actually really address the other issues that he was concerned about, which was me potentially taking his son or not being able to protect his son if I was some kind of foul molester or something like that. Just different things that, I mean, you do have, if you are a truly caring father, you would be concerned about. So, for one, when he realized I wasn't no punk, and I came to him in regards to my wife, then girlfriend at the time, that for one, that it wasn't a spoken respect, but it was a respect that I gained from him. Either way.
Mm-hmm.
So it was respect. Okay, it ain't no chump raising my child. That's the first thing. Then from that, I had to help him understand that my intent is for the best of your child, and I love your child as if he is my child, but it's not with the thought process of I'm taking him from you. I'm just an added benefit when you're not around. And it also got to the point where he also realized that I had his back, and I also informed him of when things were going on, as well as I made my son, because there was times where he didn't even want to go spend time with his dad when his dad was in town. I made my son spend time with his father.
Mm-hmm.
So, because that's your father.
Mm-hmm.
So, once he saw that, it helped the issues to kind of dwindle themselves away. And from that grew a friendship, and then from that grew him having a relationship with someone who has a child and him understanding where I was. So now, interestingly enough, he is a quote-unquote stepfather, and he comes and seeks advice from me in regards to his situations as well as with what we're going to do with our son. So, for one, it was demanding respect, which I did, getting that respect from demanding the respect, and also just reassuring them that, yo, I'm not here to take your child. Yes, I got your girl, but I'm not here to take your child, and it's our child, and I love him like you love him, and I'm going to protect him as if you would protect him. So from that flourished a relationship whereby him and I, we go to the movies together with our son. When we find that there's something that we think he should definitely see or do, we go to the rec on occasions. We do events. We might go go-karting and all that stuff. If you look at our text messages, they end with, I love you, talk to you later. I know what's going on with him when he's out to sea because he's a merchant seaman. And I know what's going on with him before my wife and children and stuff know what's going on with him, when he's going to be back in town. And we plan accordingly in regards to our son, where he's gonna, what he's going to do, what's his goals and plans, where he sees him lacking at when he's with him, where I see where he might be influential, where he's lacking when he's with him. So we got a team thing going on to where my son can't play us both against each other. He knows we both are partners in crime, and we go from there. But just like anything in any other relationship, that took work to get to where it is. But from that, it actually it's more than a friendship. It's more of like a brotherhood. But we definitely got love for each other.
Man, that's awesome right there, brother. All day. Damn.
No, I commend that, Eddie.
Okay,
and
thank you, sis.
No, I'm saying that because I have the same situation. It takes an adult person to say, differences aside, regardless of who's at home, we've got these kids. And so for my family, it's extended, blended, mixed up, and good Lord. For one while there, I was married again. My ex-husband was married again. Anybody could go to the school for the kids, and the teachers were confused. They didn't know who the real parents were of whom. And we had to let them know, whoever show up for this bunch of kids right here, they have a common denominator. It's the fact that they have four parents.
That's right.
Okay, that's right.
So, and it was it because it became a thing where, you know, I had to let my wife-in-law, as I call her, know that my kids, especially my mini-me, will try you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let him try you, and don't let him make you buy him. Just pop him upside his head a few times. He will be fine. As long as you don't abuse my child, I believe it takes a village to raise a child, and you're going to respect your dad's new wife, because we don't do the step-parent, step-child. It's my child, my children.
That's right.
And once, and I have one mother-in-law that once you get in that family, you're in that family, and your new husband or your new wife is in that family, and whatever kids that they bring. When I say my family's extended and blended, it's real mixed up, and if someone saw us all together on a Sunday having dinner, you'd be confused about who was with whom. Because the kids call everybody mom, the kids call everybody dad, and it's like, okay, you see, you called, you're her mom, you called her mom. Do you have two moms? Are they together? They're like, no, this is my real mom. This is the mom that's married to my dad now. So, and it's just like that. But we had to come together and understand that, first of all, me and my ex-husband are co-parents. We always have been. Regardless of what happened with us, the kids came first. So anybody that we brought into their lives had to understand that we were always co-parent, we were friends, and we stand strong because our kids will try to get you. And it's more of them than it is of us. I mean, we have four kids,
that's right.
And only two of us. So it's very doable to co-parent with somebody. It can be a strain at first. You do have to set your boundaries. You do have to let it be known, you know, I don't want your man, I had him. If I wanted him, I'd put my little finger and get him back. I don't want him. I've moved on. Right now, it's about the kids, not just my children, but your child that you brought into this relationship, too. I treat everybody the same. When I first met her, she had a son. I was taking my sons to go get a haircut. I told him to get in the car. And she goes, well, no, you don't have to know, because they all go together. They're a package deal now. The barber needs to get to know all of them. He's not going to go to a different barber. You know, so, and that's how the relationship
right.
built. And she said, I thought you were mean. I am. But when it comes to kids, I'm a totally different world.
That's
they
right.
Have
that's
to
right.
know that
well, you said,
the parents are going to do the right thing for them and buy them.
And we, my son's birth father and I mean, we literally check on each other as well as the children. It's like, how are you? I heard you had a little situation with your health or whatever. Is that going along well? Heard you had some situation with the ship. Is there going to be like a court process with that? I mean, there's definitely a caring relationship between him and I, and we're in each other's best interest, and we really look out for each other. If there's a investment tip or something like that, we both on it. Yo, did you hear about this? You should look into this and all that stuff. We really care for each other, and with that comes the relationship and the trust. And for one, they know, damn, if he's taking care of me like that or looking out for me like that, I know he got my son's best interest in heart. You feel what I'm saying? So just different forms of reassurance make those relationships that much better. And when he can't get through to my wife, he's like, man, I can't talk to her right now. She's just not. And I can easily be that mediator, because she'll receive what I got to say. That's the most interesting thing too, where he'll receive what I have to say, in regards to Zanetta, and she'll receive what I have to say in regards to him. So I play a good mediator because they both respect my viewpoint and what I have to say, and instead of yelling or being frustrated or whatever, and I also let them know that's between y'all. If y'all got an issue or beef, that's between y'all. As long as there's not any, like I said, disrespect or anything like that, y'all going to have y'all issues. Y'all not going to agree and see eye to eye on stuff. But in the end, ultimately, which I'm confident can be difficult, but yet it's definitely respected, is in the end, it's really going to be my decision, because my son is in my house for the most part of the every week. And so in the end, it's really going to be my sister. Like, there's been times where, like I said, it's kind of like that child is going to test you to see how far they could go. Like my son, I think he was, what was his, 14th or 15th birthday, he wanted an earring. We agreed he could get one earring. His dad told him he can get two. If you put in two earrings, they ain't nothing they can do. So for your birthday, they went and got him two earrings. I ripped that one out of the right ear out of his ear. He lost his mind. He was crying. Wait, like that pain. You know that first earring piercing? You know how hard it is to take that earring off? I yanked that junk out of his ear. His ear was bleeding like it was crazy. Did I get a call from his dad or anything like that? No. Because they know if I said something, I meant it, and I don't care what you say. You can tell your dad. I've already told him. If I beat your ass, I text him and let him know I beat his ass. This is the reason why I beat his ass, just so you don't have to hear it through the grapevine. And that's just the way it works. And that comes from setting your precedence, making a stance, and being respected for your views and everything.
Man, I commend you. Real talk. I have to commend you. I'm saying because we always talk about the drama between the child and the mother against each other. But you touched on something that's important. Co-parenting is not just because the biological mother and father. You got the woman went on, the man went on, and you took your son as if your own. And this is what it's going to be, and you parent with the biological father. A lot of men won't do that because for whatever reason, we have egos. I ain't gonna front. We have egos. We have the alpha male, king of my jungle type attitude. And we feel, I don't need to get along with him. He's hitting my piece or my old lady. I mean, that mentality.
Yeah.
But let me say this again. I believe that's something a lot of our men can learn from. You know, and ladies, those listen to the show. If you have a man on your hand who's willing to man up, and I'm going to say the word man up with your baby, baby daddy, whatever you want to call it, your biological father of your child. He said, look, we need to talk. We need to work together, be on the same page. That's going to make your son or your daughter, your relationship, respect you guys as parents. They can't run no games, and that's drama. it'll alleviate so much drama if everybody's on the same page. And going back to things about about it takes a village to raise a child. I really believe that in various families and various communities, we need to get off our high horse, stop thinking, you hit my child. Hold on, wait a minute. This child said they're going to knock your block off and threaten you. You can't tell you something. I told my neighbors before, if I know it's a good person, you just can't child, but someone who's about the community is a good person. That older woman come over to you, grandmother, Mary, whatever you want to call her, or gentleman that's in the community. Said, listen, I seen your daughter or your son out there on the block. I told them to get their ass in the house. It was acting, cursing, and carrying on. I told them, be embracing that. You should be embracing that. So, excuse me. You can't talk to my child that way. What the F you doing? Hold up, get on, mama. Hold up a second. Your child is cursing and carrying on. Then you see where it came from. Because ghetto mama, the ghetto daddy came in there with his pants off his ass. No, you can't discipline my son because you never received discipline. Let's get back to this village raising the family. We need to be accountable to one another for our own actions, and I believe that there are certain systems that want to keep the families apart, and I'm going to call it what it is, ace of spades. They do not want to see the black family together. They don't want it. So they can create all kind of other services, all kind of, you don't need that. That baby daddy paying child support will dictate when he can spend time with his child. If he wants to, spend more time, he can't do that. You have your rights, and you're putting this in there. Oh, child, listen, if your mother yells at you, report it. Come on. Seriously, stop it. I think once upon a time, we had prayer in schools. They took that out. I think they even pledged allegiance. Am I correct? I mean, there's just so much that got taken away in raising our children in our communities. And I think that, if we learn to kind of kill those challenges, men, talk to the biological father of those children. I mean, don't talk to him. Don't be afraid. I mean, for what?
Yeah.
Afraid for what?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yeah, why?
Not to mention, man.
Why?
Not to mention, when you do that, it creates an opportunity for a relationship that can come about to where when that child does lie and try to play y'all against each other, y'all have built such a relationship to where they be like, nah, that don't even sound like Eddie. Let me call Eddie and I'll see if that's the really way it went down. Then that child's like, So it really, like you said, it removes a lot of potential drama when you go. But see,
yes,
the issue is, like you said, when you coming at the dude, for one, if you got an issue with them being together in the past and he got an issue with you being together now and you coming at him like, yeah, I got your girl or I got a beef with you, there's never going to be an opportunity for any kind of relationship to go. Like I said, don't miss the message. I said that I came at him and understood where he could be coming from, where I probably would be if someone else was raising my child, how I would feel about that. And I made sure I addressed those issues. I let him know and understand that I understood those issues and how it potentially made him feel or what have you, but that wasn't my role, nor was I trying to make it my role. Do I definitely look at him as my son? Most definitely. But at the same token, I look at him as yours as well, and I'm coming to you in hopes that we can work together to give him the best potential outcome in regards to life and being a person and a man in life that we can possibly make out of this situation. And with that, hopefully we can come. I would like to come to you, and when I see any kind of issues or what have you, I want to bring it to you, see what you think about it. If you don't make any moves, then unfortunately, because I feel that my adjustment is going to be the better of the two, I'm going to go with mine. But I brought it to you at first, so there's no ambiguity as to where my intent comes from and why I'm doing what it is that I'm doing. But I let you know first, and then I went from there. But once I got that respect and he understood where I was coming from, there was no need to necessarily tell him every time I had to put my hands on whatever, because it was already understood and respected that I have his best interests at heart. So.
But another thing is, you have to be careful when the kids are of certain age, of that manipulating age, that they're not going back while you're trying to build this relationship with the other parent, with the other person who's married to the biologicals. You have to be careful that they're not going back and stirring the pot, because kids will do that, and they'll do it in certain ways.
Oh, yeah.
Ways.
Yes.
Parents. And as parents, you feel some kind of way if your child feels some kind of way instantly, but you got to step back, go back to the old school days of the village raising a child, and realize this child is trying to play us. And then you come and you have an adult conversation, I'm accusing you of something, but this is what's going on. We all need to sit down and talk about this, and then we need to get on the same page, and then we need to get Ray Ray little buddy here and let him know that's not going to fly.
That's right.
No, you start with Ray Ray button here. That's exactly what if I bring the child, I'm saying seriously, and the reason why I'm saying this is because the same way that I am with my son is the same way I am with the people that I mentor. As soon as I get a new child, I bring the parent and the child together, and I say, this is what's going on. I say, I'm not about any kind of bad grades, disrespect, anything like that. If I have a problem with something with your child, this is how I'm going to handle it. I just want you to know before you sign him up for this, there's not a little free ride. There will be growth when it comes to this process. I say, and then when I bring it to you, if and when he starts crying or whining or whatever and he doesn't want to come here anymore, for one, that's the time to keep bringing him there, because he doesn't want to get the results of or the consequences of what it is that he's been going through. I said, one, and two, I'm going to come back to you because I realize that he's only doing that crying and whining and stuff because when he does it for you, it works for you. So that means you are a part of this problem too. So I am going to be putting a mirror up at you so that you can see where you play a role in this. So don't think it's just your child either. So we'll go back and forth, and you see me talking to your dad right now, right? You see me talking to your mother right now, right? So I'm not playing. This is how this is going to work from here on out. And it's understood all around the table that I will bring you to your parents, let you know what's going on. So now I say, now what is it that you said that I said? And they're like, and we're going to nip that in the bud. So now I've made it look like you look like a straight idiot. Now you've lost credibility to your parent or your father or whomever you try to use and play against me. And now we can go on with them just believing everything that I say. Now you really screwed yourself.
You know what? So, I love that. I love that, brother. It's called upfront mentoring, and I think that's a lot of mentoring organizations need to have that. Now, what I want to do real quick, guys, I want to take a quick little 3-minute break. I'm going to play a song by Nas. I don't think everybody heard this one before, called Daughters.
Yeah,
it's a strong song. So, you know, you got to give props when our young artists or artists in hip hop put something out there. But our society will not promote that because it doesn't fall with that status quo of negativity in our communities. So we're gonna take a quick break. I want to listen to this song, but I want to come back. I want to address the issue with Eddie and upfront mentoring. We got so many other people that try to teach counseling and co-parenting, but they're not using the bigger issue about the upfront mentoring, the upfront counseling. Let's put it on the table. Let's get little Ray Ray up here. Let's put Ray Ray in. You want to do the co-parenting? Let's get everybody together. Let's put it on the table. Stop trying to doctor it and make it look pretty. Listen, Ray Ray, your mom is in another relationship. They're not going to get together right now. It's not happening. You know, she is in another relationship with this man, and they're getting married or whatever they're doing. Your dad has went on. This is what's going to happen. And I think putting everything on the table needs to be addressed. And I said, you know, I want to address that co-parent that you had on Facebook, and Eddie, you talked about that's important right now amongst people who have children. Co-parenting, not just with the biological mother and father, but also the spouses, because they play a part in whether you have a relationship or not, you know. Long term or not, they still play a part. And ladies, you know, please, if you got a man that's want to man up and be the father for your children, not as long as he ain't abusive, something like that, let him do that part, you know. And ladies, if you know, guys, if you have a woman in your life that want to be there, you know, that woman figure, that other parent, whereas the other child's lacking, let them be that part. But, you know, as long as that communication is open. So, look, let's go to this song real quick, come back, and I really want to open up with that, Eddie, that upfront mentoring and the co-parenting that you guys was touching on. Is that cool?
Yeah.
All right, no doubt.
Check it out. I call it. Shit for niggas with daughters, I call it. Shit for niggas with daughters, I call it. Shit for niggas with daughters, I call it. Shit for niggas with daughters. I saw my daughter send a letter to some boy her age who locked up. First I regretted it, then caught my rage. Like, how could I not protect her from this awful fate? Never tried to hide who I was, she was taught and raised like a princess. But while I'm on stage, I can't leave her defenseless. Plus she see me switching women, pops her on some pimp shit. She heard stories of her daddy thugging. So if her husband is a gangster, can't be mad, I love her. Never for her, I want better. Homie in jail, dead dad. Wait till he come home, you can see where it's heads at. Niggas got game, they be trying to live. He seen your mama crib, plus I'm sure he know who your father is. Although you real, plus an honest kid. Don't think I'm slow, I know you probably had that chronic lid. You 17, I got a problem with it. She look at me like I'm not the cleanest father figure, but she rockin' with it. This for niggas with daughters, I call it. Shit for niggas with daughters, yo. Not saying that our sons are less important. Shit for niggas with daughters, I call it. Shit for niggas with daughters, I call it. Not saying that our sons are less important. This morning I got a call, nearly split my wig. The social network said, Nas, go and get your kid. She's on Twitter, I know she ain't gon' post no pic of herself underdressed, no inappropriate shit, right? Her mother cried when she asked, said she don't know what got inside this child's mind. She planted a box of condoms on her dresser, then she Instagrammed it. At this point I realize I ain't the strictest parent. I'm too loose, I'm too cool with her. Should've drove more time to school with her. I thought I dropped enough jewels on her. Took her for private school so she can get a balance to public school. They too nurture teen talent. They grow fast. One day she's your little princess. Next day she's talking boy business. What is this? They say the coolest players is balance heartbreakers in the world. God gets us back, he makes us have precious little girls. This for niggas with daughters, I call it. Shit for niggas with daughters, yo. Not saying that our sons are less important. Shit for niggas with daughters, I call it. Shit for niggas with daughters, I call it. Not saying that our sons are less important.
And I ain't trying to mess your thing up, but I just want to see you dream up. I finally understand, it ain't easy to raise a girl as a single man. Nah, the way mothers feel for their sons, how fathers feel for their daughters. When he date, he straight, chip off his own papa. When she date, we wait behind the door with a sword off, cause we think no one is good enough for our daughters. Love.
All right. Okay, once again, welcome to the Man Up Talk Show. This is yours, Mr. Nas. Brother Eddie, you back with us, brother. Brother Eddie, you back with us?
Yes, sir. I apologize. My phone was muted.
I was like, take your phone off mute.
Yeah, take it off mute. And once again, welcome to the Man Up Talk Show. Is everybody good to go? We got a little technical difficulty behind the line, but we got somebody else online. Who do you have online with the Man Up Talk Show? Who we have online? Okay, it's all good. All right, well, we're back online with everybody. So, listen, back to the subject at hand. As far as about co-parenting, I think we discussed that right fast. And we talked about the community as far as raising our children. I want to swing you back to Eddie because, you know, you kind of taught a lot of us there can be co-parenting even with the spouses. I think that's really important at this point. You know what I'm saying? I think you really hit something on the head because a lot of our men, they damn sure don't want to talk to the other person. Why is that? I mean, can we address that first? Let's open that Pandora box right there. Why are men is so taboo? I don't want to talk to your baby daddy. That nigga, and because they took on that woman's upset instead of them manning up and say, you know, listen, baby, stop talking about the baby father in front of the child. You know, listen, let me talk to him. This is what we need to do together to help raise this child.
And that's exactly
who
I am.
Ego tripping, y'all.
Yeah, exactly.
Ego tripping.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely the case. And I am that dude where don't be saying that in front of him, or don't even say it to me. I don't want to hear that, man. And if you got issue with him, then you need to be addressing it with him. But my biggest thing is, in my mind, for one, I'm thinking about the end. I really am very rarely thinking about right now. And my mentality is, if I'm not in the conversation, I'm not going to be in the know, nor do I have any say or can I help the situation. And so I need to know what's going on, and they need to know I'm a part of this. We are, if we're together, if we're quote-unquote married, I think that's supposed to mean we're one. So how in the world are y'all having a conversation about our child without me, who's supposed to be connected to her, not knowing what's going on or even having any input in this process? So I place myself there. Most people don't even put themselves in a predicament, or they allow their fiance, wife, or what have you, or girlfriend to actually push them out. And that was tried too. Like, I don't know how Tim would feel about this, or I'm not sure. So I said, okay, well, I'll find out how he feels about it because I'm going to call him. So I go directly to him. So it's no need. So now he just bypasses her and he talks to me. So it's just when you place yourself in it, they have no choice but to bring you to it. So, but we don't go into it like
that. It's that common denominator person. It's the person that bridges the gap. Like you're the mother. You're the biological mother. You have a new husband. You have your ex-husband. You need to bring them together to let them all know this is what I want. This is what I expect because we have children. And you need to be the one to bridge that gap so it's no tension. It's less tension that way. It's less animosity. when my ex-husband was getting ready to get married again, he told her it's very important that you meet my ex-wife first and understand what we mean when we say co-parenting. Understand what we mean when we say you marry into a family. It's not just him. And so we went out to dinner together, and everything worked out. She really can't stand me. That's personal, and we don't care about that because it has nothing. That has nothing to do with the kids.
But if they don't introduce you, if they don't bridge that gap, you still need to make your voice known. You need to make your presence known. I mean, if they're not going to do it, why would you allow, like, something that's going on?
I'm not saying don't make your presence known.
I'm saying if they don't.
Responsibility, to me, the first responsibility is your common denominator person.
But if that person, doesn't do it, I don't disagree. But if they don't, if they fall short in what you feel they should do, then you still have a voice that needs to be heard or a presence that needs to be understood. So you do that. Like I said, my wife did not. She tried to say, well, I don't think it's going to make him mad or we shouldn't be. So I did it myself. I made my presence known. Had it been for my wife, I'd probably still be out of the loop with her trying to prevent herself from going through any drama or having any tough conversations or whatever that needs to be made or what have you. So I made it known. I stepped in and I made myself the person that needed to be contacted with or understood that in the end, whether you talk to her or me, in the end, it's going to have me in the decision anyway. So we might as well cut the middleman out and let it be understood that in the end, it's going to be both our decision. You can think that it's just y'all two children, but let me help you understand that it's all of our children. So,
I want to add on to that, bro. I think the fact that you remind, I swear to God, what you just said, that remind me of a scene. Does everybody remember that movie of Why'd I Get Married, right? Where that Tyler Perry movie, everybody remember that movie?
Yeah.
All right, there's a scene. I don't know if everybody remember this. Michael J. White. Now, his wife couldn't stand his baby mother. Now, for whatever reason, it got to a point in the movie when they got out of the car. He was going to, I guess, with his wife, go pick up his kids from his child's mother's house. And she like, why are you bringing this heifer over here? And they started going at it. He snapped. He said, look, you're going to respect my wife. You're going to respect who she is and, you know, what she's doing with our children. And he said, you're not going to talk about my wife or my kids, you know, or anything to the children. He made his presence known. When you said that, it reminded me of that scene.
In that situation, he stirred that pot. He made that mess because he was still sleeping with the other woman. And when he was
was he really? I mean, was he really doing
really
it?
Was.
I mean, the movie didn't.
He really was. I
yeah, the movie didn't.
He really,
he had other chicks, but it wasn't necessarily the baby mom. Yeah, he had other girls. It was implied that he had other women, but it was never proven.
Right, it was never proven. However,
he admitted it when they was at the cabin. He admitted it.
But it wasn't with. It wasn't. I don't think it was with. He was with his ex baby mother though. I think he just cheated.
No, it was Keisha.
Right, he cheated. But that was he cheated. Yeah, no, he cheated. But
and when he did, things changed for them. And the thing is, he would have did that from the jump. He wouldn't have had all that drama. And that's what that's a good point, Nas, to bring it home. If you don't play that person to bring everybody together, it causes imaginations to run, accusations to go flying. Well, you must still want to be with this person, why you want to have these little secret conversations? And then, as that common denominator person, you got stress coming all around you.
Not to mention that one scene killed two birds with one stone. The first stone was that it was understood by the baby mama that this was a serious relationship and this is who he's going to be with. The second stone was it reassured that his wife that he has her back and he really does care for her and he loves her. And that is just a great feeling in any kind of relationship
right.
to know that your man or whatever, especially in a situation when it comes to the children and the other person. Because, again, like we said, that's the reason why a lot of people don't talk. I don't know if she still got feelings for such and such. Not to mention, if she's talking bad about her, she knows it, and he never defends her.
That's
that
right.
is kind of an
that's
implication
right.
that he kind of feels some kind of way about her, and he's making excuses for her actions when she's being disrespectful towards you. So it really... It set a precedence for him, and it really made his wife appreciate him and know that he appreciated her and he was serious with her, and that the other girl was not necessarily as much of a threat that she thought that she was. So,
and you know what? We was talking. I swear to God, I seen that scene. I hear that scene. See, we got to post that one. That scene. I don't know how we can get it. We
gotta
post
got
that
it.
Scene on
it.
Our social
I
media.
You. I got you. I got
yeah.
you.
Yeah, that. I just. I mean, when you said that, I swear to God, bro. I hear that scene, and I think, like you said, it covers so many dimensions. And ladies, if you listen to the show, if you got a man that's gonna man up like that, don't knock him down. All he's doing, he's setting the tone, like, look, I'm here for the long haul, these are my kids, I ain't gonna let you talk about my wife, I ain't gonna let you talk about my kids, in front of my kids, about my wife, vice versa, please understand. So he basically set the tone with both of them, look, I love my wife, you know, you and my children respect you, but you're not gonna be talking about my wife. Wife, you're gonna respect the fact that that's their mother. Period. I'm not going to be involved with this. You're not going to drive me crazy. Period. And I think that you have more men. I'm going to say man up because, Eddie, you know, what you did was a power move. And I got to salute you again, bro, because a lot of men can't do this. And they can't get off their I'm trying not to curse. They're freaking high horse and man up. You know, I mean, I'm serious, man, because I ain't going to lie to you, man. Sometimes, you know, I have a mixed family. I wanted to put my hands on other cats, but I said, you know what? I can't do that. I can't talk bad about him. No matter he's walked through a pile of crap or vice versa, you know, it's still your children's biological parent. You may disagree what they have done with their lives, but you talking about them would not them in their mind, their situation. So I tell everybody, and anybody listen to this damn show right now, you get nothing from by throwing dirt on your biological children's father or mother. You get
nope.
nothing from it. You
nope.
get nothing
it
from
is.
It. I say that over and over again. Your child's gonna look at you differently. They're gonna say, damn, all you do is talk bad about mommy or daddy. That's all I hear, negative. Well, they ain't doing it. They love you. They do it. You're creating something because now you're getting them to become curious as they become older. And I'm going to take you back to what Sig said earlier, because what's going to happen when that kid is 18, like, you know what? I'm going to find out on my own who this person is. And you have a lot of fathers who don't want to deal with the drama of this crazy-ass woman. They're going to stay away. They're going to stay away, and they're going to wait it out until they talk to their child. That child, I'm like, you know, mom was really crazy all this time. Daddy wasn't bullshitting.
Because kids,
mom,
know. Kids
my job.
Know. You will lose your kid. Kids know. Kids know the bullshit parent when it's all said and done. Kids are very observant. Like you said, you may start
exactly.
out, you may get them when they're younger, and they may start buying into that. But as they get older and start looking at things and seeing things differently, and then the day that they go and decide, I'm going to confront mom, I'm going to confront dad, and then they find out the truth. You know, like I had said before, now we talked one time before, if you are that parent who doesn't have custody and that custodial parent is giving you a hard time, you
That's
create
right.
yourself an album. So when that child comes at you to 8 to 18, you buy gifts every year on their birthday, whatever you have to do. When they come to you for that conversation, I wanted to be a part of your life. Your mom kept me away. Your dad kept me away. And this is my proof.
Mm.
If you got to go to graduations and stand in the background and get you a camera with a zoom lens and take a picture from a distance, you do what you have to do, and you wait, because there is no way that child is going to turn 18 and not reach out to you.
That's
and
right.
Also,
that's
if
that's
you
that.
Are in that, if you are in that child's life, you still wait. Do not, like you always stating, don't say anything bad about that parent. I just had this conversation with
that's right.
my son's birth father. I told him that, like, I know you got stuff going on with the father or what have you. I said, never talk bad about him. Never allow her to talk bad about him. Never allow the child to talk about him. And in the end, they are going to see that it's not you, it is him, and you will win. I said, but you cannot fall into that. You can't even allow it to go on, because once they see that you're defending the other person, that you that they think in your mind, like, why aren't you saying anything bad about my father, even if it's right? Don't let that happen, because in the end, when it all comes down, they're going to remember you and what it is that you did, and that is what's going to really set you apart. And I think, I'm speaking from experience, because there's just so many opportunities that I'm currently finding out now that my mother could have just straight up slayed my father for what he's done to her and everything. But instead, she never allowed us to say anything bad about him, even though he stabbed her 9 times in the back, even though he abused her, held her at gunpoint, all that stuff like that. She never allowed us to say anything bad about him. She allowed us to meet him at a young age when we finally found him, or he found us, or what have you, and she allowed a relationship to build. And I'm just finding out certain things now that I'm like, man, had I known this, I never would have wanted to meet him. I never would have got to meet him because of what my mother kept from me. But it just makes her seem like such a much better person because she didn't. And it was the fact that she withheld all that information from me that just makes her such a better person in my eyes. It makes me love her even more for who she is as a human being and how strong she is, and just showing us the right way to treat people and carry things, even when people aren't necessarily in your best interest or they're doing nice things towards or about you. So I just really, really, I challenge you to be patient and just keep on planting good seeds, because I promise you, my friend, that they will harvest. And seeds are going to harvest bad fruit or good fruit, and it's all dependent on the seeds that you are planting.
Wow. I salute your mother, man. Yeah. I salute your mom, definitely. I have to. After what your mom has been through, for her still be as godly as she has been and be as just still be the better person despite the physical and mental abuse. Your mother's remarkable, bro. Your mom is, real talk.
Man,
I mean, we know,
like, it was some of the questions, because you know the documentary comes out, I think, within the next 2 months, the documentary. She answered any questions that I pretty much answered about my father. She gave me all those answers. She was such an excellent sport to have to relive that and think about dates and stuff that they were asking me or what have you. For her to go through that without any, like, feeling bad about it or getting frustrated or sad or saying, I don't want to do this, she has just been awesome. Not to mention the irony in all this is that the channel that all of this is going to be played off of is her favorite channel, which is the ID Discovery channel. So, it's like, you've been watching all these things into these different trials of people who are crazy and attempting to murder people or murdering people, and you're eventually going to be the story that they're talking about, or one of the stories that they're talking about. So, it's just, I'm fine. Like I said, I'm just like my wife, that I'm finding that there are levels to love. And I'm loving my mom at a different level than I've always loved her. Just from stuff that she never told me, but I found out about it. That's the best thing you can do, is let somebody find out something about you. Instead of being the one boasting and bragging about, I pay my child support, I do what I did, I do it. Let somebody else do that. That's more powerful and more impactful when somebody else is talking about you than you telling everybody what the hell you've done. So,
man, I love that. You're on fire, bro. You're on fire.
Nas, I think we've talked about everything that's done, and we need to address the people who don't have that, who are not co-parenting, who are struggling with even being able to hold a decent conversation with the other parent without calling them names and cussing them out, and it's always drama and stress.
Emotions.
God, if I have to see her, oh my God, it takes everything out of me, you know. And even for the ones who can go pick up their kids or whatever, just for the kids to have to deal with that 15 minutes it takes to get the kids, deal with the drama, and you're tense driving away, for those parents, there are workshops that you can go to in your community. You can Google it, co-parenting workshops. They're everywhere. You can get some kind of help to where the two of you can come together and get at least a cordial relationship and keep your emotions at a zero level when you're amongst your kids.
That's right. I agree in that.
Because we've got to do better, especially in the black community. Like you said, society is designed to tear our families apart because our families
that's
together,
right.
working cohesively, and then our communities together,
what?
We are a force to be reckoned with.
We
and they don't want that.
Unstoppable.
Yes,
unstoppable.
They don't
I mean,
want that.
Just imagine. Imagine you have the black community together in strong families. Oh, are you kidding me? Just think about the potential and opportunities that we have amongst our youth and the past and the future and the kids of the future. Just imagine if we had our black communities together.
Totally,
oh, my God.
Totally phenomenal. And they don't want that. And listeners, as the black community and any community of minority, they don't want the cohesion. They don't want us to get along. They like the fact that they don't have to kill us because we're going to kill each other. They like the fact that neighbors are fighting neighbors. They like the fact that those little family feuds have turned into all our bloodshed wars. We need to stop that. We need to step back, and we need to find a better way to communicate men and women, get some kind of help from somebody. If there's somebody that's doing something that you think they're doing it the right way and you don't see the drama, talk to that person. Find out what's going on. Get help from somewhere, from somebody who has a positive outlook, who knows what they're doing, because it can get better. It can be better. Trust me, co-parenting is the best thing going. It's so much better for the kids. It's so much better for the parents. And it's got to be more than fake it at first if you have to. Fake it until you get it right. Fake it till you feel it.
That's a whole other show. That's a whole other show.
You got to keep... Not that fake it. We gotta keep
that's
a behavior. We have to keep communication open, and we have to let our kids see something more positive. Everybody's complaining about our kids are mimicking this person, our kids are mimicking that person, because they have no role models at home. They have no true role models in community. So yeah, they're gonna sag their pants because that's the latest fad. Yeah, everybody thinks balling or doing music is the only way to make it. No, we've got to let them know through love and understanding, open and honest communication on an adult level, this is what it's about. This is where we can go. This is what we can do as a community together, starting out with our family unit. We've got to put our family unit back together.
When it comes to these co-parenting relationships, man, this is one of the first things that I truly recommend. I'm an honest person. And so I'm honest with myself and I'm honest with others. First thing first, yes, sir, he hit your girl. He smashed. He crushed it when they were together. I'm dead serious. Let's address the real. Yes, when he was with your girl, he was tearing her tail up. And when she was with your man, she was tearing his tail up. Let's call it what it is. And yes, he left you, he did you dirty, and he with somebody else. Yes, she did you dirty, she broke your heart. She was with the guy that she's currently married with when she was with you. Yes, all of that stuff happened. And guess what? There's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing outside of making it realize that it is what it is and forgiving them and moving on, because the factor is that you're not with them anymore, and they're not with you anymore. They've moved on. You need to do the same thing. Get over it. Yes, they smashed. He saw every piece of her body that you saw. He had it. He had it first. He might have been her first. And it might be a little feelings there. Let's go ahead. Let's address all that stuff. But it's nothing that you can do that's going to make you feel better about knowing that. So just go ahead and receive it. Take it as it is what it is. That was the past. And live for right now and do what you got to do right now, because it's that past that's keeping you from the present, and you're not even in your same state right now. So address that, receive it, forgive them and move on so that you can address this child and their needs and what they want or what have you, so that you can be a great parent and a great asset to them in life. Because that's what the biggest issues are. Y'all have not forgiven each other. You haven't forgiven that person. You're still holding on to what is the truth. It is the truth. So what now? Now that you received it, now that they did you dirty and they didn't admit it, so what? You know it. Do they need to say it for you to know what you know? No. Receive it, get over it, and forgive them for your sake, not theirs, so that you can actually be something for this daggone child. Just receive it, yes,
right,
but
right.
You had your past, too. You were smashing, too. You had other people, too. You did somebody dirty before, too. And if you haven't yet, you will eventually. But my thing is, yo, stop negating what you've done. You had a past, too. He did hit it. That's the past. She picked you, or he picked you. So just live in that right now, and let's work on doing something for this child. But the thing is, nobody wants to talk about it. Yo, they did hit. Okay, and it's obvious because you're right in front of their child's face. You can't get no more obvious than that. He smashed.
Right.
He probably killed it. And she was saying his name. She told him she loved him. All that stuff happened. It happened. It's the past. Get over it. You got her now. Clearly is the reason why they called him the act. It's over. So what are you going to do now? There's so many people that it's so frustrating to me that there's so many people in this world that aren't living today. So many people either live for the past or they're living worried about what's going on, going to happen tomorrow. And they're not taking care of what's going on today. So it's fucked up now because people, they're not even in the now.
You know what, bro? I want to add on top of that. No, man. Listen, man. I love it. I love you going from five, bro. Real talk. Listen, man. I am with you on that. And listen, ladies, to kind of piggyback on my brother right here, on some real talk right here. Listen, you can't judge your past situations and what your past relationships to you are being blessed with a man who wants to man up your situation. You can't look at it and think, you know, he may do something to remind you of what you've been through. Now, you got to judge each situation differently and independently. You know, I hear so many times, I've been scarred before. You know what, goddamn, get over it. It is what it is. You went through a situation, that's the past. You can't judge your present situation. That's how, one, women lose men. Two, how men lose good women, because they're so busy stuck in the past. Like my brother Eddie said, you're stuck in the past. You didn't get over it. You didn't forgive that situation with that individual. It doesn't matter. You don't have to be Christian or Jewish or Muslim to forgive. If you forgive the past situation, because what happens is, as long as you live in the past situation, they got control of your present situation. So in results, it has an inverse effect in action on your children, because you're bringing that fucking negativity. Children and your children feeding off of that dumb shit because you haven't got over your past shit and you need to fucking leave it alone, and that's why you have a fucked up situation, you're fucked up life, and that's why you can't get over. So fucking kill yourselves. I'm sorry.
Yes, yes,
I'm sorry.
Yes. And wait a minute, okay? Wait a minute. Before you kill yourself. Honestly, you're proud of behavior. I'm so proud of behavior. So, ladies, what I'd like for you to do is...
I'm sorry, I apologize.
It's more... No, that was real. Hold your... We knew that was coming. Hold yourself
don't laugh
at me. Higher than that. Put more value on what you have, on your youth. Don't be so quick to just spread the legs for everybody so you can quit being called a woman with 17 baby daddies. Think about the fact that if you present as a whole... You are going to be taken as a hoe, and a hoe is what you will always be. Don't do that to yourself.
Say it again. Don't hold it. Say it again. I'm sorry. Women don't understand
it.
Y'all afraid of people putting on...
If you present as a hoe, you will be taken as a hoe. That's what you will always be. Regardless of how you may meet this man, and you may say whatever, and you'll think, oh, my God, he's the one. I really care about him. I'm really feeling him. And all he's saying is, she just a hoe with 17 baby daddies. You're going to be a hoe to him, too. Until you
That's
change
right.
your outlook
That's right.
on you, until you look in the mirror and learn to love that person in the mirror and stop trying to be something to somebody else. Stop thinking that you can get love through sex, because you can't get love through sex. You can get royally screwed. You can get a baby, and you can catch a disease.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens through sex.
Mm-hmm.
If a
That's
man
right.
can't
That's
respect
right.
your mind, if your mind is not what he wants to respect, and it's just your body he's after, stay next and keep it moving. But put more value on self, because keep in mind, you spread your legs, and you got little girls looking at you, and they're going to grow up, because a hoe going to have a hoe, and a hoe going to have another hoe, and it's not supposed to be that way. Give her something to look at. Give her somebody to be proud of. Don't make her look at her mom and turn her nose up. And her thoughts, she's either going to be like you or she's going to be better in spite of you. And that's a ruined relationship,
that's right.
Worst relationship in the world. So, and even
mm-hmm.
if you got little boys, you're not setting an example for them. You let them think it's okay to run through somebody's legs and keep it moving. Drop sperm in the baby here and just keep it moving. Do not give your children that outlook. Do not give your children that as an example for life, because it's much better than that. You need to be able to look in the mirror, love yourself first. Get to know yourself. All these men don't count. You need sex that bad, go to the toy store.
That's another show. I got to write this down. Toy store.
Go to the toy store. It's not that deep. Because all you're getting is the feeling. He getting a nut, and 9 months later, you got a baby with another baby daddy who's not going to help you. And you're stuck in the system on a merry-go-round. And people looking down their nose at you. And no matter how much they smile in your face, they talk about you behind your back. Your kids catching hell at school because they saying your mama's a hoe. Because you and your 14 brothers don't have the same daddy. You need to think about what you're doing to your children.
Listen, listeners, we're coming from a place of love. I want to put this disclaimer real quick. It's a place of love, you know. We can put a bow on it and dance around the subject, but at the end of the day, if you don't hear the reality or hear the truth, how you understand the truth? I mean, that's what's happened in our society. We want to put a fucking bow on every damn thing. We want to dance around a damn bonfire and not address the fucking issue. You know, see, let me just be honest with you. I'm tired of this shit. I'm tired of dancing around the fucking subject and being politically fucking correct. Let's stop this bullshit. You know, be freaking honest. You know, listen, you know, my man, you know, you stay sleeping all these chicks that you done won, but yet you got a pot to piss in the window to throw it out of. You know, you want to, and I'm talking to those brothers out here, you know, you're driving a nice-ass cars, but you're still living, let's call it what it is. You're living with your baby mother because you ain't man enough to provide for them. You living because you have a place to go. You live with your mama at age 30 or whatever. But that's a whole nother show alone. You know, we need to stop dancing with the fucking subject. You have to learn to forgive yourself. You have to learn to forgive the situation that you was involved with. You have to understand, okay, y'all had a child. Y'all have to co-parent together. Y'all have to come to a compromise in an agreement to work together. Don't wait for the system to get involved. You don't need it's what fucking kills me. You don't need a system to dictate you to be a father or a mother. Y'all should be able to compromise and talk to each other, and I am so sick of the system trying to tell you how to be fucking parents. You get off your high horse, and I think the courts knew what before they put child support in there, but there's my thoughts personally. I think that they need to put these parents together and say, listen, y'all need to come with a schedule, talk to each other, develop budget, and if the father or the mother don't comply, come back to court before you put this order out on the father or the mother or whatever the hell you want to do. If you want to do mediation, whereas they come up with a compromise, and let them two come up with a plan together, come back to court if it's in the system by that point, and say, Your Honor, we have talked to the system that we're going to create, and see what happens in the next 6 months. If it doesn't happen, then you take action after that. But let's at least come to a point of mediation. Once you enforce mediation and counseling amongst those two, that they can learn to co-parent. And I think that's the issue that the courts of them will not fucking do. Let's enforce co-parenting first before you sit there and order that this man has to be a father, this man has to be this woman has to be a mother, and they have to do the schedule. Give them an opportunity to mediate. I don't never really see that in child support or the court system. Let's enforce the mediation aspect of it. Let's enforce that. Let's give them an opportunity to work together. And even maybe you order them to go to these counseling upfront sessions to co-parent work together. Because maybe in those sessions, they didn't develop a communication in that session that can alleviate all the other bullshit. But once again, it's a bigger picture here. It's about the money. It's about the let me not fix the problem. Let me give, it's, the money's in the treatment. That's a whole other subject alone, you know, that, but that's the system. I'm sorry.
But no, you're right. The thing is, you know what, and because I do my little survey, when the topic came up, we were supposed to do it last week, I talked to a bunch of guys at the center about child support to see where everybody was, what everybody thought. And what I found was men who were not on child support had a better relationship with their mother because they said they came and they talked about it. Women, why are you voting to put him on child support? And if he's got 18 kids, you're only going to get 50 cents. If you let him be a man about it, you're going to get more help with your child than you thought. Because a man who has a cohesive relationship with the mother is going to go out of his way and do whatever he got to do to get Ray Ray those shoes Ray Ray wants. He's still going to put money in your pocket for that child. He's going to drop by and say, you know, I went by the grocery store. Here's a bag of groceries. Whether you need it or not, whether you're in a relationship with somebody else or not, he is going to be somebody that you can look to if you really need help. I know a couple of guys that's like that. Their child support would have been a couple of $100. What they put into that child's life every month is closer to $1,000 a month. They do it freely because they don't have the stress of somebody beating them over the head and saying you're less than a man and you need to take care of your child. Because as soon as you attack somebody with the court, people get angry and they feel some kind of way about it. And you're only going to get the court say you deserve. You come out better having a co-parenting relationship with that parent. And then you'll have a co-parent. You won't be doing it by yourself. You won't be a single parent struggling.
I agree. I think the co-parenting is such a strong avenue and something that needs to be embraced on a larger level. And I mean, not just with the parents, the biological, you know, the spouses. I mean, you married into a situation, a big family. It's a family situation. Bring everybody to the fucking table. Let's stop dancing with this. I mean, bring everybody to the table. There need to be mediation up front, but our courts will not enforce that. They won't enforce the mediation. They won't enforce getting these family therapy together to build a family because it's about the money, not the solution.
Right, and it's not something that can't be done. I'm going to be honest. I am a person with two dads. My mom and my dad got divorced, and then my dad came together because they said I needed two dads. Lord knows I did. But they, from jump, they were, because my father, my real biological father, told my dad that he needed to watch me because I was a kid that would try to get over and I would test you. And the two of them came together and told me, trust me, it was a shock to walk in my house and see them sitting there talking and laughing and joking. I knew I was in trouble. But I had been something I wasn't supposed to do and I was getting away with it. And they decided to have a conversation, and that's when, and from them I learned, yes, it takes all of the parents, whoever's involved in this relationship with these people, to make you a better person. And if it wasn't for the fact that I had two dads, I might be a totally different person and a lot less pain than I am now, if people can believe that. But I appreciate the fact that I love the fact that I had two dads. And I brag about it, and I tell people I have two dads. I really do. And no, my dads were not gay. They were both married to my mom. So it was really cool. And then so when I was in that situation, to me it was a natural thing for all the parents to get along. And my ex-husband was in the same situation. He has a couple of set of parents himself. So for us, it was just natural. These are not my stepkids. These are not this. This is not that. We're in this together. That was very important. And it worked. I'm telling you, co-parenting works. Group parenting works. The more parents, the more adults involved in the welfare of that child who care about and love that child, the better off you are. Trust me, it's awesome. It's totally awesome.
I agree. And also from the meeting, I know a lot of people. I don't want to meet the guy that used to hit that, or I don't want to meet the woman that used to be with you or is with you now or what have you. From a mental standpoint, you know, I try to look at every aspect of it. I would think that I would want to meet the person that my wife was with or my girl was with prior to me, to kind of get an idea of where she was or where her mind is in regards to choosing men. If you had a baby with that person, at some point in time, whether you feel bad about them now, you were into them. And that was your choice of who you were with. And even if it came down to a one-night stand, it still was what you've done. And it reflect on decision-making, whether it was your past or potentially your current. And you might find after you meet the guy that you two are a lot alike, which means your situation more than likely is about to be the same situation that he's getting out of. So it would probably be you to meet the person that your spouse or your ex or your, I mean, not your ex, your spouse or the person that you're with, father, baby's father is, so that you can kind of get an idea a lot of, or learn a lot more about her than you think you know. And another thing is referring to how you got there in the first place where you have two children is something that I just want to address is if you lower your standards, you lower your chances to gain, and you keep others from growing. So if your standards are low, you're not giving men and just in their entirety that's around you reason to be better than who they are in regards to growing and being better men, nor are you giving yourself the opportunity to find a person that does value people and that value themselves. So it's a double whammy in a sense.
Wow, good stuff. Listen, guys, this actually been very, very good show. You guys got me amped. I'm ready for a war.
Our eyes are open. You know that.
Oh, Sig, please, I apologize before we
so
wrap
much.
This up. Please, Sig. I don't know if this is like a world, I mean, or a national thing, but I know in Virginia, so please check me. There's something called the show cause. And for guys out there, I'm not sure, but I know in Virginia, if the mom won't let you see your child on your visitation days, that's up to 1 year in a felony in jail if it's reported.
Wow. Whoa, hold on. That's important news, brother.
Each state has their own laws, and that's true. And gentlemen, or I'm going to say non-custodial parents, I've had some dads yell at me about this. Non-custodial parents, you have more rights than you think. And it would really get, there are family law advocates in your state that are willing to help you. But people, it needs to come together as a group because I'm not going to lie.
Wow.
Family law courts are hell. And I think most of the judges, and Lord knows I'm going to get hit for this one, most of the judges in family court got some mommy-daddy issues. And some of them come in and I want to say, did your dad not fucking hug you? What the hell did you do? You gave that child to the raggediest mom in the world. I can see that. You know, like I said, I don't
Thank
do family
you.
Law,
Thank
but I do visit family court a lot. And there are some judges who, you know, I pay some contempt fines because it's hard for me to keep my mouth shut. What the hell did you just say? You know, so you have rights, and it's a battle. It is a battle because me personally, I need enough dads to get together in several states because I want the laws to change. I need for the non-custodial parents to have more rights. I need for the custodial parents to be more accountable with that child support. So
I really need people to come together.
Hit us up on Facebook and whatever it takes to make it happen, we're going to make it happen. I'm working with a couple of people in a couple of different states. I got some states I really can't stand, and I'm not going to lie, North Carolina is one of them.
Listen, I am an advocate.
He gets on my nerves.
I am an advocate. I mean, when I say an advocate, I did it with a passion. I've been paying child support for so long, and my rights have been stolen from me. Without getting to my business heavy on it, you know, it's so unfortunate, the selfishness in it. And Eddie, I think that was powerful. For any guys in Virginia or people who have children, want to be my children, you have rights. So, Virginia, please stand up because... Damn it!
Stand up.
Oh, fuck it! You listen to the show. Stand up.
Stand
up.
You know, hit us stand up on the Man Up Talk Show Facebook page. I kid you not. I'm very passionate about this. This is something that I am constantly stomping the ground about. And like I said, so-and-so, I'm going to send her this archive. She can't stand me, and I can't stand her. She is the worst family court judge I've ever met in my life. This helper is in the state of North Carolina in the city of Towson. I'll do everything but say her name. She's threatening to sue me all the time. She is a wench. She got some daddy issues. Somebody needs to hug her.
You, you're going to have North Carolina call us? Because it happened to us already before. And the mayor on the news in Bloomfield. Big shout out to Bloomfield. Mayor, you did your job. I guess you follow our show. So, but listen, let's do the
You know what? If
let's
they hit
the
us up, if they call, that means we're doing our job. We're doing what we're here
yep,
to do.
That's right. That's right.
No, they're going to call us. What they do is they'll take our actions and use it. But that's a whole other show. We'll do closing remarks. I want to start with Sig. You know, Sig, what's your closing remarks for tonight's show?
I really want people who have children together to find a way to make it work. If you need some help, you need somebody to talk to, man, woman, or whatever you choose to be or not to be, hit us up on Facebook. If you reach out, I will contact you personally if you want me to. Just get some help. Find a way to make it work, because right now my concern is the kids. Your self-esteem plays into it, but if I can get you to care about the kids, I can get the self-esteem up. Seriously.
That's
because
right.
We need to do better
good
by
stuff.
Our kids.
That's right. That's right. Amen. I'm gonna say my closing remarks before we know the best for last, as always.
Go ahead.
My closing remarks, I can go on. This topic means a lot to me because of my personal experiences, and you know, if I can't educate those younger than me or those who've been through it, hopefully I can open their eyes. But my closing remarks here is families, you know, got to come together. You got to let go of the past, you know, stop using our children as fucking pawns. I'm sorry, I've been cursing a lot, this disclaimer, you know, stop using our kids as fucking pawns. Because you don't have a good relationship with that man or woman does not negate the fact that that person, that man or woman can be a good father. You know, we make bad decisions as people in relationships does not mean that we won't be bad message as parents. Give them an option to communicate. Open that line of dialogue. Stop the selfish bullshit. I mean, real talk. Because the children get affected to a time whose fucking past, whereas, you know, your selfishness takes away from the child is entitled to a father or a mother. So, you know, let's let it go. I mean, as Teddy P said, let it go. Fucking let it go. That's all I'm saying. Eddie?
Just something that I've been paying attention about while listening to the show or just thinking about is the fact that it's more uncommon to have two parents in a household than it is to have a single parent household. And just off of these issues alone, it shines light on the fact that these children have it bad. They're dealing with a lot of different things and issues. And if that does not show the world or our listeners at least that we need some serious mentors and people in these children's lives, I don't know what will. Because if they're dealing with this and it's more common to have a single parent household, which clearly means that they're having dual relationships or potentially co-parenting or what have you with these issues that we discussed today, then we really need to do something as men and women to be better role models because their parents are fucking them up. Just for the lack of a better term, their parents are jacking them up. So us sane people who are doing the right thing, we need to be the loudest voices in their ears, and we need to be doing some mentoring and showing and living by examples that they can take stuff from. So I hope if you can't get the whole co-parenting thing right, that you get the being a good individual right and upstanding citizen part right, so that you can be somebody that a child can come to and make yourself available to a child so that you can impart those great things that you're doing in them so that they can have a chance because they are our future. As corny as that sounds, if the future is in the hands of this type of parenting and these types of problems, then we have a serious problem in itself. And that's it.
Yes, we do. Man, I think you said it well. It wasn't corny, bro. That's just real talk. Listen, man. We got to mediate. We got to bring everybody together. I mean, let's not let the system dictate of us being. I love you guys. Y'all have helped me do some things. Eddie, I gotta hit you behind the scenes, man. You guys helped me. You've been awesome. I really appreciate your voice as a woman, a strong woman tonight. Because there's a couple women that need to fucking hear you. Seriously,
a thug woman at that. Freaking thug.
Yeah,
he needs to calm down sometimes.
Real talk.
So we'll talk about that off air.
Why gotta be a thug? You're a bully.
Listen.
What the hell?
Love you. Wait guys. Up. Say good night, you
children.
Love y'all, man. Peace.
Good night, everyone.
Listen if you're missing y'all. Swing it while I'm singing.
Hey!
Give it what you're getting. Know what I need.
Shadow. World.